This episode of the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast is sponsored by ZocDoc. Find the top-rated doctor today at zocdoc.com/TDO. Countdown to halftime. This is the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast for Monday, the 26th of September, 2022. I am your host, Ken Ray, joined today by Jeff Butts, managing editor of the Mac Observer, online at macobserver.com. Are you ready for some podcast?
My middle name is ready.
Okay. Wow. Neat. Jeff Ready Butts.
That's me.
Second part of today's show, is magic enough? There are some cool little things that Apple does, some of which are so big, they might actually get bashed for being not big enough. We will sail for the dynamic island and other points of magic in between in a bit. But first, they probably haven't used that song in like 15 years, right?
It's been a while, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a football follower or fan. I followed football for one season, got completely spoiled because I grew up in Nashville, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And the only season I followed football was the first season that the Titans were playing in Nashville, which is, of course, when they went to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Yeah, and I tried watching the next year. I was like, well, this is no fun. They're losing. And so, I was kind of out. Why are we talking about football here? Because people probably know Apple has taken over the halftime show for the Super Bowl. Super Bowl 57. Now, who would you think would sponsor Super Bowl 57?
Pepsi.
Now, Heinz. See, I say Heinz really should have put the money together for that.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? They could have a GoFundMe and a Kickstarter and all kinds of things, because if there's any year that Heinz should sponsor the Super Bowl, it's next year, but it's not going to happen. Yeah, Pepsi did it for about 10 years, and they decided it was just going to be too much money for them. I have not heard an amount of money, but they kind of balked at paying what it was going to be next time around. And so Apple stepped in and they're like, we got money. I think we can do that. And so now Apple is sponsoring the halftime show. Apple Music is sponsoring the halftime show for, we don't know how long exactly, but they did say in their press release that it's going to be, that they were looking forward to sponsoring the first one starting next year.
It's interesting that they specify it as Apple Music,
mm-hmm.
because really, I mean, other than naming divisions, I don't know that Apple Music actually has its own business name. I think that's just a marketing specification, I guess.
Well, they do have their own. They do have their own vice president. Oliver Schusser is vice president of Apple Music and Beats. Apple Music kind of came over as its own business, although once Apple bought Beats Music stayed what it was for quite a while. What was it, like a year, year and a half after Apple bought it, they actually launched Apple Music? Mm-hmm. Can't remember off the top of my head.
Something like that.
What's really interesting is when people last week, when it came out that Apple was going to be the one that was sponsoring the halftime show, almost immediately, a guy that I knew in passing years ago, we still follow each other on Twitter, but he's a DJ at Sirius XM.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately he was like, well, it's the Taylor Swift halftime show. And then Variety over the weekend came out with an article. They were like, yeah, three people that we've talked to who are close to the situation say it's the Taylor Swift halftime show. And so imagine everybody's surprise on Sunday, everybody who was paying attention anyway, when the NFL hit with a press release saying it's the Rihanna halftime show. Because that's who's going to be the featured performer.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it just shows that we can't always predict what's going to happen.
It also shows, I mean, I shouldn't say there's a real change in what kinds of acts are featured there, because you've had everybody from, I mean, last year you had like everybody in rap and hip hop past a certain mm-hmm. point was there. Of course, you had Beyonce there a few years ago. But, I mean, we've had Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. We've had Prince back in the day. We've had, of course, JT and Janet had their fantastic turn on the field.
Last year we had Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
Eminem.
Yep.
I think Dr. Dre was there, wasn't he?
Yes.
And not Mary J. Blige, was it?
I have no idea. I used to watch the Super Bowl for the commercials, and then they started putting the commercials on YouTube.
Yeah, so we don't have to anymore.
If somebody invited me to a party, I'd probably watch it while I was there. I don't like going to Super Bowl parties, though, because nobody's watching the game. So that's the thing. I don't watch football, but if you put me in a place where I'm supposed to watch football, be quiet, please. I'm watching football. So I don't really understand what that's about.
I don't either.
What I found interesting really quickly, there are a couple of things in the press release that came from the NFL. Well, this wasn't from the press release, but I've got a 16-year-old person in my life, and they were really excited to hear that Rihanna was performing, which I was kind of stunned, but that really doesn't speak to anything about Rihanna. It's more like, oh, I did not know that they were into Rihanna. All right, cool. The other thing that I found interesting is the NFL said, yeah, so listen, Apple's going to be talking all about this, and so if you want to know what Apple is going to be saying about all this, you should follow Apple Music. What do you think they're going to say? You think they're going to say Apple Radio? Do you think they're going to say, you know, iTunes? They say you should follow at Apple Music on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter.
What?
Yeah, it kind of makes me think that maybe Apple should think about having an online platform of some sort.
Well, but wait a minute. They tried that.
Yeah, I know.
It failed spectacularly.
Yeah, it depends on who you ask, but okay.
Yeah. Everybody I asked says it just didn't work.
Well, which one are you talking about? Are you talking about Ping?
Yes.
Yeah.
And several others that they've had in the past. I mean, even the thing they have now where you can follow people and follow their playlists. I mean, who actually pays attention to that?
I do.
Oh, okay.
But I was a huge fan of Ping. I mean, that's the thing. I would discover music that friends of mine were listening to because of that follow-along thing with Ping. It did strike me as weird, though. I'll tell you, I kind of wondered if, and obviously I'm the only person who also did not want us to leave iTunes. Like when Apple said, you're going to have one thing for your music, one thing for video, one thing for podcasts, one thing for books. I hated the idea, mostly I think because I'm a podcaster. And a great way to be discoverable is to be standing next to something that people are looking at.
Right.
And podcasts used to stand next to music. Right?
Yeah.
Podcasts are now off by themselves, and Apple is doing a lot to promote podcasts, so it's not a total loss. But, you know, 10 years ago, they make this deal. They send you to iTunes. Watch iTunes, because here's where all the information is going to be. And now they're sending people, in fairness, they're sending people where people are going, which is TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter.
Yeah.
It's always kind of funny. You know where they're not sending them, by the way, is Facebook.
Gee, I wonder.
That could be an oversight.
Yeah, but, well, but you know what? Who owns Instagram? Facebook.
Facebook, yes, I know, right. All right, so not Taylor Swift. We kind of talked about that. No. Not classic rock. We kind of talked about that.
Disappointing.
Apple, well, for you, like I say, the 16-year-old that I was telling you about earlier, if they had said, hey, they're getting the Police back together one more time, he'd have been like, you know, he probably would have said something disparaging about Police.
Right.
And not even realizing he was talking about a band.
I thought they got defunded.
It is strange to me, and you alluded to this earlier, it is strange to me that Apple Music is the sponsor.
Yeah.
Now, on one hand, you say, well, it is a musical act. Why wouldn't Apple Music be the sponsor? And there's no reason that Apple Music wouldn't be the sponsor, but does Apple Music need the same level of exposure that, say, Apple TV Plus needs, or that maybe Apple Arcade could use? Or why not do Apple One, and then you've got Apple TV Plus, Apple Arcade, and Apple Music, and Apple Fitness Plus, and whatever else is thrown in there that I'm paying for and apparently not using because I can't name all of it.
Right. Well, okay, so Apple Arcade, not too much tie-in with the Super Bowl.
Not too much saying with the Super Bowl, but all the other sports stuff.
Right. There is that.
Yeah.
Apple TV Plus, unless Apple gets a deal to actually carry streaming football games, not a whole lot of tie-in there.
No, but they do have Major League Soccer coming up, and they do have baseball during the rest of the season if they keep that deal next year.
Right. You know, you look at the fact that it's not the entire Super Bowl. It's the halftime show, which is a musical show. It does kind of make sense for them to stipulate Apple Music especially since they're still trying to compete with Spotify, Pandora, Amazon Music, and, you know, given the current legal climate they're facing, they may have to stop offering preferential treatment to their own app for Apple Music.
Eh, I guess. I mean, here's the thing. Anybody tuning in for a musical act already knows about music. Look, I'm not saying it doesn't make sense to do Apple Music. It makes sense to do whatever they want to do. Apple One, see, I think it would make sense for any of them. Apple Arcade would be the most ridiculous, I think, and the hardest one.
Right.
Apple One makes sense because you get so much stuff. Apple TV Plus makes sense because they're trying so hard in the TV space and the movie space and all of that. Honestly, I'm kind of surprised it's not just Apple.
Well, now here's something that just occurred to me. This may be their way of giving Schuster his credit where credit is due if he's the one spearheading this. Because I got to be honest, until this press release information came out, I really didn't have the slightest clue who was VP of Apple Music.
Hey, second part of the show, we're going to talk about magic or things practically indistinguishable from magic. But first, a word from today's sponsor, ZocDoc. Would you make brunch or dinner reservations without checking the reviews for the restaurant you were going to? Why would you do that with a doctor? I mean, because really, as great as brunch is, your doctor is kind of more important. Maybe you've moved. Maybe your doctor has moved on. Maybe you want to see somebody else about something else. For all that, there's ZocDoc. ZocDoc is a free app that shows you doctors who are patient-reviewed. They take your insurance and are available when you need them. With ZocDoc, you can find the right doctor for you in your network and in your neighborhood. They've got specialists for every specialty. Whether you're trying to straighten your teeth, fix an achy back, or get that thing looked at, ZocDoc has you covered. ZocDoc's mobile app is as easy as ordering a ride to a restaurant or getting delivery to your house. So seriously, what are you waiting for? Go to ZocDoc.com/TDO and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then start your search for a top-rated doctor today. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc.com/TDO. ZocDoc.com/TDO. Mac Observer Managing Editor Jeff Butts is with us today. I'm going to throw you to a science fiction quote, one of my personal favorites. Well, by a science fiction guy. Arthur C. Clarke famously said, "Any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic." I bring this up because Mark Gurman over at Bloomberg has a newsletter that comes out every Sunday. It tends to dominate Monday Apple talking points for a lot of people. He wrote something about the dynamic island in Sunday's Power On newsletter, and I'm wondering if you could fill us in on what that was, Jeff.
He kind of goes a couple different directions with it. He praises Apple for coming up with this magical feature, if we want to, you know, bring Mr. Clarke back into it. For taking what was probably the most hated characteristic of the iPhone since Face ID came about, and they've turned it into a feature that is, in my opinion, very, very useful.
Mm-hmm. The thing you're talking about is the notch.
Right.
They went edge to edge to edge to edge with the display, starting, I guess it was in iPhone 10. But the problem is they still wanted to be able to, you know, use a FaceTime camera and Face ID. And the only way they could do that was to have this notch up at the top of the screen that kind of ate into some of the screen space. And so then with Dynamic Island, what they did is they basically put a tiny little bit of screen around that notch and turned it into a display area. So instead of looking like a hole in your screen, it now looks like a part of the screen that's always ready to show you new information.
Right. And they call it Dynamic Island because it grows and shrinks based on what you're doing with it. When you unlock your phone, it grows into a square with a green smiley face that fills itself in once you've fully unlocked your phone.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got music playing, it shows the music player in what used to just be the notch and just dead space.
Right.
Now you've got your music player in there. If you've got your maps going, it shows you your next turn. And that's just the beginning, because that is a feature that developers can actually tie into. And where I have to take umbrage with Mr. Gurman, as much as I respect his connections and his analysis, he's criticizing this as not being a feature worth switching to the iPhone 14 Pro. You know, for one thing, before we've even had a chance to dive much into it, and for another thing, and you and I were talking about this before the show, when did Apple say this was why you should switch to the iPhone 14 Pro?
Right. When did Apple say you should switch to the iPhone 14 Pro?
I don't remember that.
I have no problem believing they would love it if people did. They'd probably love it if everybody did. But there's no, it is not a feature. On Monday's macOS 10, I actually talked about a couple of other features that have been introduced tied to AirPods Pro, the second generation AirPods Pro, which I don't have. And also, I have never had anything inscribed on my AirPods case, partly because, you know, I like the way it looks.
Right.
And partly because I just don't want to wait for, you know, the inscription, which sometimes takes longer. Sometimes you can actually get it quicker that way, but sometimes it takes longer. There's a neat new feature with the AirPods Pro second generation case. If you get it inscribed, when you pair it with your phone, it doesn't just show you a pair of a case for a pair of AirPods. It shows you the inscription on your AirPods as well.
Oh.
So if you got the peace symbol, you know, the hands throwing up the peace symbol on your AirPods case, it'll show you that on the screen when you pair it too.
Huh.
And that's magical. And that's not a reason to buy AirPods Pro 2, but that is a little magical thing that happens. If you want more practical magic, they actually have a thing in the AirPods Pro 2 where you don't have to have an AirPod in the case to see how much battery the case has left.
Yeah.
Because to this point, it was using the Bluetooth and the AirPods, and now it's got its own wireless thing, because that's part of the whole being able to find the case if you lose the case, thanks to the U1 chip and the wireless connectivity in that.
Right.
So now it can tell you just how much charge it has without having to take one of your AirPods out and put it in the case. And that's also magical. There's one that you didn't know about where, so I've got a blue iPhone 13, and I bought a marigold case for it, one of the MagSafe marigold cases for it. When I put my blue phone into the marigold case, the screen pulses orange for like a moment or two. Which I think if I had bought a blue case to match my blue phone, I would have just assumed that my blue phone was, you know, pulsing because it's getting charged or because it's got the MagSafe case on it.
Right.
The phone is actually smart enough, or the case is actually smart enough to say, hey, you've got an orange case on this. Look, your orange case is on, and it flashes orange and it's there. And that's magic.
Yeah.
That's magical. And none of these features that I've just mentioned is a reason to upgrade to anything, is a reason to change to anything. It's no reason to come over from Android because, hey, look, the screen flashes the same color as the case if I spend $50 or $40 on the case that Apple makes. But the whole ecosystem, the whole mise en scène, if you'll pardon my use of the film term, it's the whole thing.
Yep.
Which Dynamic Island is part of. And yet Sunday, all the headlines I saw were things like the not-so-dynamic island, and it's not so great.
Right.
Because somebody has felt like they had to say something because, you know, it's Sunday and they got to drive the conversation the next day. And then everybody sort of read what they said and they're like, oh, well, Gurman says it sucks. And in fairness, no, he didn't even say that. He just said it's not enough reason to switch. But nobody said it was.
Right. And it's not like that is the only thing that's new to the 14 Pro or Pro Max.
Right.
It's not even really the most significant update.
But it's the coolest one.
In my opinion.
I mean, the 48 megapixel camera is actually probably the coolest one. That's probably the biggest reason for some people to upgrade.
Yep.
But I mean, the real, I mean, anything like that, any little magical thing that you can see becomes this like little magical thing that happens to you on the regular. And that's the thing that kind of gives you the warm fuzzies when you're walking around with it.
Yeah.
Hey, if you have a question or comment for the show that you would like to send our way, we would be more than appreciative. Observations@macobserver.com is the place to go. Well, that's the email anyway. Observations@macobserver.com. You can also hit up the show on Twitter @TMODaily. If you want to reach out on Twitter. If you want to follow me online, I am @macOSKen on Twitter. You can also visit my website, macOSKen.com. Mr. Buds, please remind people how and where to find you online.
Yeah, they can find me as @Clefmeister on Twitter. That's CLEFMEISTER. Or as @MacObserver on Twitter.
Advertising for this show handled by Backbeat Media, online at backbeatmedia.com. The Daily Observations is a production of the Mac Observer. From the latest news to product reviews, your source for Apple news is macobserver.com.